Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
What's going on, peoples? Welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast. This is your host, E-Dub. We are back with a brand new episode. This week, we're going to be talking about food. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about businesses. This individual, I actually had the opportunity to meet probably about a couple of months ago. I had a couple of friends that told me about a specific restaurant in the new area that I lived in. Once upon a time, I lived on the south side, but now I'm in the university area. Was telling me about a new place to eat called the Derrida Dairy and Bar. And I'm like, oh, where, what kind of food they sell? They said, man, they got everything that you want, what you want. Like what you like, what you want, this is what they have. So I actually happened to go up there and I met the lady by the name of Miss Devin. And she is the owner of Derrida Dairy and Bar. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm great. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for coming in and speaking with me. Like I said before, you know, we had an opportunity to meet each other. Great customer service. Kind of, you answered all my questions. And that's number one thing I like. Number two thing I like, you're black.
Right. I am both those things. And I just, my philosophy is I try not to be an asshole in any aspect of my life. You know what I mean?
I agree.
So I feel like every time you come to my window, it's a conversation. It's a time we're friends. I don't see any reason why not.
Right, exactly. So thank you again for that. And bottom line, great food.
Right.
It's all about what you're looking for. And, you know, like I was stating, this restaurant is a takeout. It's a takeout restaurant on Sugar Creek in the Derrida area. I think that's what they call it, the Derrida area. Somebody had to hit me to that because I was saying Derrida.
Derrida.
And somebody finally, you talking about Derrida. I said, okay. But again, it's not my area. Right. So I'm getting acclimated to the system. But like I said, if you want anything from burgers, wings.
Crab fries. Don't forget the pineapple lemonade.
You
gotta have that.
That's the Kiki Palmer, right?
The Kiki Palmer is the pineapple lemonade and the sweet tea.
Okay, yes. I had the Kiki Palmer. I had the pineapple lemonade, but I will say that the Kiki Palmer. It's crazy. I didn't even ask when she said it. She said, oh, you want a Kiki Palmer? I said, well, sure. You know, thinking, because the Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm. But I did say to myself, I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to be surprised. I'm going to go home because I was going to drink it anyway. I ain't even going to ask. And then I went ahead and partake in it, and I said, oh, this is good. And I was telling my friends that go up there, and they said, yo, did you get that? They said, did you get that Kiki Palmer? I said, bro, I got that Kiki Palmer, man. But pretty much what I like to know is, I want to know about you. You're not originally from Charlotte.
I am.
You are.
I am from Charlotte. I'm from the west side of Charlotte, Office Boulevard. I went to Myers Park High School, South Mech High School. I was in the IB programs. And then from there, I went to Howard University.
So shout out to Howard.
Shout out to Howard. And I lived there for 17 years. And then moved back home. So I've been back here in Charlotte for almost 4 years.
Okay. And that's what normally happens when you go off to school, depending on the metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just stay around. And D.C. is just one of those metropolitan areas
that you get stuck. It's so expensive to live there. And you make good money. Don't get me wrong. You do make good money. But it's like it's so expensive to live there that you kind of get stuck in the churning. You know what I mean? And you don't really... In my, you know, it was hard for us to, you know, advance. So I came home and, found this great opportunity with my little brother. I can't say that I am sole owner. Me and my little brother own it, and then he has a business partner. And so my little brother is what I like to call a serial entrepreneur. You know, he finds all kind of good business moves to make. And when this opportunity came about, neither one of us knew how to restaurant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So we had to learn it, and it took us a minute, and then we opened last June on Juneteenth on purpose. So that is our anniversary coming
smart,
up. Smart.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's taking it like it. I mean, we most should be aware of Juneteenth, but a lot of us are not.
Right.
I think probably last year, you know, with everything going on with, you know, police brutality and just black people in general, a lot of people are taking advantage of what Juneteenth is about. A lot of companies are finding ways to, you know, to get involved,
right.
to capitalize on it. Good, bad, however you want to look at it.
Right.
But the bottom line is Juneteenth is being recognized, so that's pretty dope that you did that. Now, when you was up there in the D.C. area,
mm-hmm.
I know you said that you didn't know anything about a restaurant, but were you like a budding entrepreneur? Did you think about things that you wanted to do, or was it just solely your little brother?
So my background is in marketing and advertising, PR, mm-hmm. and I worked for construction companies doing marketing for construction companies when I was in D.C. and in D.C. So. Mm-hmm. I had my own marketing business where I helped build small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of benefits, you know, my little brother and his serial entrepreneurialism.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he can come to me for help in building these small businesses and building the existence of mm-hmm. the brand. You
okay.
know what I mean? So I did have my own marketing company, Comet Marketing Solutions.
Okay.
K-A-M-E-T. Comet Marketing Solutions is my own marketing company. And so when he came to me with the idea of buying the restaurant, it was like I thought it was going to be more of a just making the menu, you know, getting the name out, doing
mm-hmm.
all that. It is that and so much more. So,
right.
Because I'm there every day and I'm the person at the window.
You are the person at the window every single day.
Every single time, you know what I mean? I'm the person that you
But meet. That wasn't what your thought process was when you did it at first.
No, or at least I thought I would have to do it for a little bit and then somebody else would take it over. But it's so important to the brand and it's so important to the running of the business that it's really hard to let it go and find someone to trust and carry that on and be a...
Because a lot of it is mainly, you know, that is not saying it's just yours. But when I say you, I'm speaking...
Right,
in the event of you,
service.
Yeah, I'm speaking on you
right.
and your brother.
Right, the whole experience.
Yeah, the whole experience. So it's like, you know, once you put your hands on something, you know, it's kind of hard to kind of let it... It's
right.
hard to let it go.
Right,
you know?
When it's important to you. Right.
Right, because somebody could come in, but let's be honest. They may do a great job, or they may not, but
right.
it's not...
Right.
It's not their baby.
Right. And for those 4 hours that I'm not there or 6 hours or whatever,
mm-hmm.
All those people that come to the window aren't getting the same experience as the people who enjoy the interaction and the customer
right.
service. And that's what I don't like that feeling. But, you know, we are growing and it is going to get to the point where I'm going to have to let her go a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
I'm trying, but.
It's all part of evolution.
Yeah. It's grown too big for me to be there. All the time. Plus,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to extend some hours in the summer.
Right.
Be open to like 9. I think that'd be dope, especially now that the world is opening up. So
yeah, exactly.
I'd like to get like a nice little vibe out there where people feel comfortable coming
mm-hmm.
a little later in the day and stuff. Just for the summer though, when it get back cold.
Yeah, you're not thinking about that.
Right. Yeah.
So talk about you opening up in June.
Right.
How was that experience? Opening during the pandemic, because what we've seen, you know, a lot of companies failed.
Right.
I'm not gonna say fail. A lot of companies had to close due to the pandemic.
Right.
Maybe there are some companies that was in the process of not doing well at all,
right.
and the pandemic just really took
just
them.
Squeezed it out.
Squeezed
right.
it out. So how was it knowing that you were able that you all were able to open a
right.
business in
right.
the pandemic, and you did it in June.
So
the heart.
Okay, right.
Like, I don't even think the mask and
right.
everything, I don't think nobody understood what they
right.
need to do, what they wanted to do.
In the panty of the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah, so, right. So, well, when you phrase it like that, it makes me almost feel guilty because it kind of worked out great for us
mm-hmm.
in that we are a walk-up window. So, we are very COVID-friendly. Nobody is in a building.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is inside. Strangers aren't inside the building. The only people that are in there are me. And my one or two cooks. That's it. You
mm-hmm.
know? So it was very COVID friendly in that way when people didn't want to go into buildings and stuff. And then it kind of helped because it allowed us to have a slower start because we didn't really know how to restaurant. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we started out making this much and being able to handle this many orders and moving up to the point where now because it used to just be me and my one cook, and then it got to the point where he needed an assistant, and now mm-hmm. he kind of needs a third man. So
okay.
it's grown.
With that, and that's a good thing,
right?
Because if you need more workers, that means that business is doing pretty well.
It is a great thing. So that part, and then also with opening during the pandemic or opening in June, we jumped right on the train of our first Black Restaurant Week. Came like right after that.
Mm-hmm.
So and it was all these initiatives while people were home to buy Black and support Black businesses and right. Support local Black businesses. And it worked out so perfect for us in that way, because mm-hmm. it was like right as we're learning how to do this, we're also growing. And I utilized social media solely for our building. And so it really helped to reach out to influencers, give them some goodies, mm-hmm. have them post some stuff on Instagram, because people were home and able to scroll. And so it worked out that way. And
right.
the pictures went farther. The reviews went farther in that demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And I still find that's the biggest. What I get on Saturdays is people showing me their phone and saying, I want that. You know what I mean? Instagram, at Dorada Dairy Bar and Grill, DDBNG. Follow us. And that's really helped for us,
mm-hmm.
you know. But so I feel bad to say it kind of worked out in our favor, the pandemic.
No, I mean, it's a business. So I understand completely what you're saying, because everybody were in the house. You didn't have to worry about going into the restaurant. So was it, when you all first started thinking about it, did you think of it from a brick and mortar standpoint where we wanted a place where customers could come in, or did this building just fall in your lap?
It fell in our lap in November of 2019 is when it was purchased. So there was no pandemic talked about at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It just took us until June, and, you know, which brings me to another way that the pandemic kind of helped. I hate to say it. I feel really bad to say that, but everybody was home, and you were still, and you had time to think and plan,
mm-hmm.
right? So while everybody's going to work and doing other stuff all day, we were slowly planning. But then once everything kind of came to a halt, we had time to devote to planning. So we really started meeting up in May of last year. We met our main cook, Chris. He's been with us the whole time. He's great. I cannot take all the credit for that great burger. He makes pretty much every burger that you get when you're there. Chris makes it.
He be on it. So he's the demolition man. He's back there with everything.
He kills it. Chris is there, and when he's not there, you know, things is different. You know what I mean? It's good. We're still there, but you know, Chris is our main cook, and I got to give him a lot of props. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to devalue him at all. He's great. We had time to plan, and we brought him in and tried different recipes and different spice blends and different ideas. And then that next, we were like, okay, we're going to do June. And then June came, and we were like, we're not ready. And we're like, you know what? Hardcore Juneteenth, that's going to be our start date.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We opened the window. I did not know how to swirl a cone. So everybody that came in early in June, I apologize for that cone that I gave you, because it was no bueno.
So you learned on the fly as well.
Right. And then my little brother, I didn't mention, he's a chemist. He's not, you know, he's not a restaurateur.
He's about the money.
Right. He's a chemist. So he's not a restaurateur either. We both like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both know what tastes good and what don't taste good, and what would be dope to try. And I think we both have a very, you know, let's jump into the pool and see if it's cold way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps, because if you wait too long, you'll forget, or mm-hmm. you'll put it to the back burner, or other things come up, or you'll overthink it to the point that you don't make the move,
mm-hmm.
you know. But he and I both have a kind of, you know, let's do it.
You have a pretty good rapport with
right.
what you all both want. So, and I'm asking these questions because
mm-hmm.
I'm curious, number mm-hmm. one. And I think anybody else would be curious who's mm-hmm. trying to start a business, because, you know, a lot of people got scared, you know, and the fact that you said that you opened it up, well, the idea and everything kind of started moving in November, and nobody knew a pandemic was coming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How did you all actually feel when that happened? Like, when the world stopped, did it make you all nervous to keep pushing forward with that? I know you said y'all was waiting to, you know, yesterday when we was already on the way of doing it, but was there any doubt or anything in your mind where when one of you all said, I don't know about June. The fact that we did this in November, but I don't know about this just yet because now everything is changing. We don't know how things are going to look moving forward.
I think we kind of feel like at this point we got to jump. Like, and that's it. Like, you're at the end of the board, jumping into the cold pool. You got to jump. When the idea first came to me in November, that's when I was like, I don't know how to restaurant. You know what I mean? We don't know how to, and I got this other stuff going on. I'm doing this and you're doing that. And we don't really have time to devote. But by the time things started to shut down, it was like, okay, now if we don't do it now, we're not going to do it. Plus, you're paying rent for a place that's not being, it's costing you money, right? Because you're still.
No money coming in.
Nothing's coming in. So we got to do this. And we didn't know how much life was going to come back in a March, April, May.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know if it was like, because a lot of people was thinking jobs were going to start just laying people off, and which they did.
Which they did.
They did. But, you know, the point is we didn't know what was going to happen. So it was like, okay, do or die right now. Got to jump. Let's go.
Right. Now,
mm-hmm.
Talked about how it came about. Mm-hmm. Did the name just hit you just due to the fact that the area you was in? Or
no, that was already the name. It was already, the physical building was already there, and the restaurant was already there. We bought into the name and kept the same name. I did not want to keep that name, but it was part of the contract. It was part of it. What we did change when we came in was we changed the way we made the same menu, right? So the burgers and the bologna sandwiches and the pork chop sandwich and the hot dogs, all of that was already there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was frozen patties. It was pre-made, stacked patty, generic window carryout food.
Okay, let me interject. I don't like to be, I got to ask this question before you go further. Just this is a safe space.
Uh-huh.
Was the previous owners white?
Not right away. Not the immediate previous owners.
Okay.
But the previous owner before them, they was white.
Okay.
I was with the previous owners, they were not white, but they just...
I was asking for a reason. That's why I wanted to...
Right. Because okay. It's bland. Right. I get it. I get the words that you're going with. You're giving me in my mind. So what I'm saying, they were not, but they didn't have any passion for what... I didn't feel like... They were there because it was a business and not because it was...
They didn't put no love into the food.
Boom. You said the words, you know what I mean? So when we came in, we knew we wanted to do everything fresh.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we wanted to use fresh beef. I shop every morning for the restaurant for the week.
I have seen you.
See, you know what I'm saying?
I'll see you in the grocery store early in the morning.
Early in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Like, we shop every day. I'm at the Restaurant Depot. I'm at the chef's store. I'm at the grocery store every day. We don't like to do anything that's artificial. So... I don't know. We just it was really important for us to give really good food. And how dope is it to have, a great burger, top five rated burger in Charlotte by the Charlotte Observer. You know what I mean? Great burger, and crab fries, and a milkshake. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where can you find all of that? Or crab nachos? You know,
right?
What I mean? With a hot dog and a sundae.
I call it like. Glutton food, like
right,
you, like when
right.
you go in there, you really don't. You may have a taste bud for one thing,
right?
But once you start, and I'm talking to the people, like once you kind of start talking to Devin, she'll change your mind real quick. Like she'll change your mind real quick. I went up there and had no idea what I was going to get. I just knew I was going to support.
Uh-huh.
But once I started kind of reading the menu, I'm like, oh shoot, let me try this. Okay, boom. Well, this tastes good with it too. You want to do this?
Right.
She pretty much picked my meal for me, which I'm perfectly fine with. Because if I didn't like it, then I know to try something else different. But no, she actually did a great job.
Right.
Did a great job with it. So we did talk about the customer side,
right.
A piece of it. The restaurant reminds me of my childhood. There's a I'm from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Gotcha.
So they have a restaurant back then called Tasty Freeze.
Okay.
They called it Tasty Freeze. Same type of food, same type of setup.
Right.
So it took me back because when I went up there, I had no idea it was a walk-up. My friends didn't warn me of that. They just said, but I wasn't planning on staying anywhere.
Right.
I said, okay, but I walked in. I said, and I just sat there for a second. I said, oh, this is a walk-up.
Yeah.
A walk-up. And it immediately took me back to that restaurant in my childhood days of Tasty Freeze and having that type of interaction with that.
Yeah, there's a lot in D.C. too, the carryouts. It's just in the carryouts, you normally walk into a building and then you order at a window.
And they roll out.
But yeah, but like mine, my window opens to the world. Like there is no.
It's not like no inside. Like as soon as you open, somebody's there.
Right. My window opens to the world, darling. There is no lobby.
Crazy. So explain, how was it like living up in D.C.? I know with the menu that you kind of created, mm-hmm. did a lot of those ideas come from maybe the, you know, just the influences?
Right.
Did you get a lot of influences from the D.C. area with how you decided to think about your menu?
Right. So, you know, D.C. and crab, Maryland and crab go, you know, hand in hand. It's very, very serious. You got to crack your crab. It's a different type of crab than what we use, though. In Maryland, it's going to be blue crabs that are boiled, steamed, whatever, and you crack the crab.
Mm-hmm.
What we're using is like leg meat, you know, it's like crab legs. But my little brother is in Charleston, mm-hmm. right? So they got the crab influence too. I always wonder why, though, like why Maryland got the whole crab.
Maryland crab and the Charleston crab.
But like you don't hear much about the Charleston, but it's the same blue crab, though. Or maybe it's not. I don't know.
I totally agree, because every time when you think about seafood,
Chesapeake.
You think about that area. The Maryland and that area. Not saying D.C. per se, because there's no water really around it. But
It's not. D.C.'s not a thing. It's a theoretical thing. It's a thing. It's absolutely a thing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, you got to be careful when you say that. All my aunts and uncles are from the D.C. area. So.
No, I don't mean that. I
get what you're saying.
It's Northern Virginia and it's Southern Maryland and it's this little chunk that's out. Right. It's so small. So you got to speak about the whole area, the Maryland, the D.C., and the Virginia, the DMV.
True. So, and I'm
right.
Yeah, you got to do it sometimes. I got to be careful with that mm-hmm. as well. But when you hear somebody say that, and I know it's not that, but it just gives people.
It's definitely a thing. Right.
It's definitely a thing. So mm-hmm. yeah. So with doing that, when you think about the upper part of that area with the blue crabs, Charleston, Wilmington, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and Savannah, those are like normally the places. When I think about seafood, I think about those mm-hmm. things. So mm-hmm. anybody who's around here, you start hearing specific names. And I see why, like Lulu's and things like that, you know, they want to differentiate themselves from anybody else,
mm-hmm.
which is understandable. You're branding it. So,
mm-hmm.
but that's just how it is, especially when it comes to crab. I like crab meat, mm-hmm. but I'm not the stereotypical black person that just needs to have a crab leg.
I'm not doing it,
man. I don't sit in there and go to crab du jour or a place like that. That's cool,
some people are like hardcore crab, or like when they hear crab or when they hear shrimp, they jump. You know what I mean? Some people are. Our crab fries are great. People love them to death, and they're really popular. But my personal favorite fry entree is the Philly fry. I like the Philly fry more than the mm-hmm. than the crab fry, but we sell way more crab fry. People love them.
Mm-hmm. Now, does entrepreneurship run in your family outside of your brother and you?
Yeah, my dad was a serial entrepreneur as well. Record shops, real estate. He had a stud farm. He had a farm. He had. I mean, my dad did all kind of.
he was a hustler.
So whatever came up,
he's one of those guys that if there's money to be made, he was going to make it.
And I think that's part of how I learned customer service indirectly, or how to interact with people indirectly, because my dad also used to put me into like pageants and commercials and stuff when mm-hmm. I was little, and so I learned how to talk to people and how to smile and how to interact and how to be very confident in who you are and confident in what you have to offer to mm-hmm. people. And that has a lot to do with being able to start a random conversation with a person about
mm-hmm.
fries.
It's a gift.
It's a gift
because some people are born with it and some people just learn that skill set as time goes on.
Right.
And you could kind of tell the difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, just based off the interactions with people. And mm-hmm. sometimes that does make a difference in a restaurant. And kind of to segue into that, I think it really makes a huge difference for black restaurants.
Right.
Because of the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
We run into, sometimes anybody with a stereotype, sometimes it's true. I mean, sometimes it's true, but I think it's about how you handle it.
Right.
And I think sometimes we make a lot of mistakes. And I think, and the reason why I say that is because of how we get started.
Okay.
And I'm just speaking in general. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, that, like you said, there's no education behind it. You see the opportunity, but what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes you see the money. You see the money first. Like you're forecasting the money, but you're not forecasting the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not forecasting how you can have conversations with people. Upselling,
mm-hmm.
that's a big part of it. Because even though somebody comes in and say, "Well, look, I want crab fries," it takes that special person to say, "You know what? Maybe this can go with it." Especially when somebody who truly doesn't know
right.
what they want. And then you get the customers that know exactly what they want, and then that's all right. that's all they get. But we run that risk of not knowing what's going on, and then that's how these companies fail. Me and my friends will always have a conversation, and it kind of became like a running joke. Running joke meaning when we see restaurants, businesses, whatever open up,
right.
they say, "Hey, how long you give it?" Because I could kind of look and I could look and tell. And right. I say, I give it about a year.
Really?
I get about 2 years. And I've probably been wrong about one.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that this particular place doesn't have the...
Oh, I got questions, man.
They doesn't have the issues, because they do have issues, and the issues be broadcasted everywhere. But this...
Well, I want to know.
I'll talk to you about it. I don't have no problem telling you. I'm just not gonna say it up here. But we see
I feel
it.
Like I know.
You probably do. We see it all the time. You know, and mm-hmm. I'm not wishing no mm-hmm. bad business for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be aware of what where mm-hmm. what's going on, and especially with Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. I think that upselling can be taught, right?
Mm-hmm.
What can't be taught is the segue and transit. The segue and the transition and the charm involved in making someone not feel like they're being upsold. That's the difference. Do you get what I'm saying?
I totally get what you're saying. I've worked retail before, so mm-hmm. I totally
right.
I totally get what you're saying.
Anybody can run a script, but that whole feeling comfortable talking to somebody,
you got to make that script. You got to make that script your own.
Right, and you have to have a relationship with every person, short, small one. You know, some people I know them by name. And all kind of stuff. How's your mama? Mm-hmm. You know, what's up? Why you got a different car? How you hurt your arm? You know what I mean? Sometimes you have that. But it's a very short relationship, but they have to trust you. And I want them to know that I would never sell them nothing whack. That's what I always say. We're what you're in the mood for. And I would never sell you nothing whack. Like, we don't do nothing whack.
Right. So talk about, give me your personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the landscape?
Mm-hmm.
Of Charlotte
mm-hmm.
and black businesses,
mm-hmm.
period.
Okay, so the landscape of Charlotte is definitely changing. It's very different than what it was when I was growing up here. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, Independence Boulevard was a booming. Everything was on Independence.
I could tell.
And North Charlotte was a dead. But we're talking about, I left Charlotte in 2001
mm-hmm.
to go to college. So we're talking about a long, long, long time ago. But everything was on Independence then. And North Charlotte was woods for the most part. Now, you know, definitely everything's changed. I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I see a movement of black people to the outskirts of Charlotte and away from the middle. And I say that as a person who is from the middle,
mm-hmm.
Center City, Charlotte.
You grew up.
Right. I'm from, you know, West Boulevard and Remount area. Like, you know. Right, that's a mile and a half, 2 miles from uptown.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm Center City, and I see that they're wanting that the city, the residential aspect is wanting to move more into the middle, and that means they're pushing the non-city, the mm-hmm. more suburban areas out. And I feel like a lot of black people are moving out because that's where it's more affordable to live now.
Mm-hmm.
It's where you can get a little more space.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a house. And university for what you're paying for an apartment in Uptown Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know. But also Pineville and stuff. So I see a lot more black-owned businesses popping up. Even in my own neighborhood, we just got Vegan To Go. Shout out to them.
Okay.
And there's a taco spot. And they're both walk-up windows, too.
Okay.
Almost the same layout as mine. Literally, but you can, like, see into... the layout.
You kind of have. You kind of get a view.
Yeah. But, I mean... They're popping up all over the place, much more than I was aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were there before and we just weren't aware. And I feel like now we have more of a social media network where, you know, we're interacting with them. So many people come to the window and like, oh, I'm such and such a candles or such and such a nails or
mm-hmm.
such and such a customization of shirt company, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I feel like they're there and we're more attached. I think it's a great thing. I want to see some more artisan coffee shops. I want to see some black-owned artisan coffee shops. I just heard about a chick, a black-owned sushi company, own maker. Don't quote me, but I just heard about her. I want to go visit that. But, yeah,
that's open?
Yeah, okay. Here. We'll talk about it. I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put it in the notes or something. But, yeah, I want to shout out everybody I'm no hater. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I want to see some black-owned coffee shops and stuff. And, you know, yeah, do it yourself. But I got other stuff going on, you know?
I feel you got your own thing to worry about. But
yeah,
I think
that would be dope.
There's a space for everybody.
What about, like, you know, home-baked pound cake and coffee in, like, a very soulful spot, maybe with some, like, performing aspects? Maybe,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Come on.
Now,
just, you know what? Give me some money. I'll do it.
I feel you.
Invest the money. I got you.
I feel you. And, you know, I think those are all great ideas, and I truly hope those things do come about. Now, I just think right now that we are in an influx of a renaissance,
mm-hmm.
meaning us as black people need to take advantage of, if you have something on your mind or you have an idea, do
mm-hmm.
it. Do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people out there that are actually willing to, you know,
right.
fund it.
Invest, yeah.
Invest and fund right. it. And I think that's another side I think some people get messed up on. You know, I get it. You know, if you want to do things and you want to try to get things done, you got to put some money up. You got to get your money in there.
Right.
With loans, however you want to do it. But mm-hmm. there are a lot of advantages that there are grants mm-hmm. out there. And which is crazy. There are a lot of people that are willing to give that money. Unfortunately, with that.
Right.
Outside of us as African Americans, the ones that truly had the money, I mean, let's be honest, we know where this money comes
right,
from a lot of times.
Right.
They're not looking. They're not saying that they're willing to give it, but they're not in our social settings.
Right.
So they have
right,
no
right.
idea
they
where
it, right.
they don't see it.
They don't see it until it's already a thing.
Exactly.
Right. They don't
So what do you think is your own personal opinion? How do you think we can get noticed a little bit quicker than just waiting until, oh, this one person saw me and they saw me in Charlotte Observer when I'm already to a point
right.
where I got what I needed,
right.
you know, why can't they catch you why they can't catch you in the front end?
Right. Okay. So, I feel like, the first thing is that you kind of got to devote some time to it. I think a lot of times the reason why we don't jump is because we are afraid of the fall,
mm-hmm.
of course. And a lot of the confidence that we had in opening during the pandemic came from having a safety net
mm-hmm.
of having, I was working from home and he had his own professional whatever
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are really afraid to make that jump, but I feel like you gotta get the backing, and a part of that is the rehearsal of the idea. How do you not become nervous when you're performing at Carnegie Hall? You rehearse. So you go over it, you make your notes, you draw it out. It's not just vision boards.
Mm-hmm.
You need more than that. You're going to have to go do research on prices. And the more information you have, the more confident you'll be to make that leap and that jump.
Mm-hmm.
Also, remind me of the question.
Oh, I was just asking. No, I was just really asking, what do you think, you know, what do we need to make sure that we are being noticed by these other, you know.
You got to utilize.
These VCs, you know,
right.
just seeing what goes on.
You got to utilize your, one thing that I had to do was utilize social media really, really hard. And I mean that, and I'm thinking you meaning in a very physical meaning and not like in a metaphorical, like how do you become seen? You mean like, how do you get literally
and I'm actually
seen.
going to segue into that. So let's combine it.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna go with what you're saying. So take that route.
Okay.
When it comes to social media,
uh-huh.
social media I think is truly important in how you utilize it.
Right.
I've seen times where companies,
right,
black owned businesses,
yes,
will get a social media handle,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the greatest.
Oh, or they have like four or five of them. That irks me so hard. Okay, so having a marketing background, PR, advertising, it was very important. Branding is very important to me. Now we're getting away from the restaurant and more into my own personal passion,
mm-hmm.
which is branding. I'm very passionate about it. That is one thing that really irks me is you. There is a one place I'm thinking of in particular. We'll talk about it later. They have like four different gram handles.
I think I know what you're talking about too.
Because they sell the same stuff everywhere. So it's like, just have one. You don't need a bunch. You're spreading yourself too thin. You're splitting the apple too many times. Nobody is getting enough of a bite, right? Mm-hmm. Just be organized in the way that you plan your social media. Social media should be just as planned as your menu or whatever it is that you're selling, because that has to do with your voice. That has to do with who you are. Come on now, this is a free lesson here, people. So, you know what I mean? That is the voice of your business, of your brand. So you got to plan out what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. I remember there's a local company. It is not black owned, but it is called, it's that golf place, Stroke Putt. Mm-hmm. Stroke. And I could tell when they changed social media managers, because at first they were using a certain filter that made all their pictures look like it was taken in the shape of a golf ball. I know mm-hmm. that's a circle, but just trust me on this. It was like golf ball-y. And then at some point, they switched over and they stopped doing that. And you could tell because the feel of the brand changed, the mm-hmm. voice of the brand changed. At first it was this. Now it's leaning more towards, look at our great cocktails and stuff, which they do have. And it is fun to play stroke putt. I'm not talking junk about stroke.
Right.
But it just changed. And so
You saw the difference.
So you got to plan out your brand early, and you got to plan out what it's going to feel like, what it's going to sound like, what the colors are going to be, everything. All of that matters, because I have also seen people that like get too personal on their company brand, and they'll be like, can you believe that these people said we got to shut down because we got, you know.
They don't separate it.
Right. You got to separate it.
They don't separate it at all. There's a couple that I've seen over the years that do it. I've seen a couple that will get into straight beefs with another restaurant, because, I mean, there's probably some truth to it where this restaurant took the idea of the type of burger or something that they did. And
this really happened?
Yeah.
This
happened. I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was something, but it just turned into a beef.
Too funny.
It just turned into a beef, and I'm sitting here reading it like, you know, I followed one, and then I didn't follow the other, but I saw what this one was saying, so I said, you know what, let me go check out what they're talking about, and then it just turned into like a Suge Knight Puff Daddy, where I don't know, this was not organic. It wasn't organic at all. Maybe later on, they probably tried to turn that way, where they tried to turn it to, let's do a competition.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, y'all both can coexist. Because the crazy thing, it's two different restaurants. It was just with this one item that this person got mad. It was like, bro, how you going to duplicate what I got going on? Right. And then the other one was like, nah, bro, I've been doing it. And it went off by like a good week. Like, I was invested because
I love this.
I was invested because I wanted to see how it was going to go.
Messy, right? I'm for it.
Yeah, I wanted to see how it was going to go. But I don't know what happened with that. But
that is too funny.
They're both still doing what they're doing, you know.
Right.
They're doing pretty well. But it's just all the other aspects to it where it's like.
Yeah, you got to separate.
Whatever happened to the food, man. And then on that note, that one person with his social media, he had everything tied up into that. And it's like, bro, you got to separate that. Because don't nobody care about your personal stuff.
Right.
We only care about the food.
Right. But that comes from not planning and not thinking mm-hmm. about what the overall voice is of your social media. It's not like a personal page where you just post whatever comes to mind. You have to have some thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do some research on your analytics, how far it's going, what people like, what people don't like.
And how important is that to you? Because do you think... I mean, you see franchises do it. You see a lot of franchises do it, of course. I mean, you know, they get their analytics from, they have a lot more money behind it because there's a machine behind it.
Right.
How important is it for the small businesses, the sole proprietors to have a hold on that?
Oh, I love data. Data is, you know, I'm a data porn person. Like, show me the numbers.
Because mm-hmm.
it shows you where you need to put your energy and where you don't need to put your mm-hmm. energy. I know what my next step would be in terms of advertising and branding, if my social media, if the, not, I don't want to say influence is not the word that I'm looking of, but if social media wasn't doing it enough now, branding mm-hmm. in people, I know what my next move would be based off of the demographic I've already reached. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like right now, Instagram is our pop. Like everything goes through Instagram. Facebook is really quiet. Right? But Facebook also skews a different age and a different whole different interest and demographic going Facebook versus Instagram. Instagram's very picture focused. A lot of people don't read the captions. They're not going to click the more button that tells you everything that it mm-hmm. says, but you still need those hashtags and all of that, you know? But Facebook is a little bit more literary is not the word, you know what I mean? But people will read Facebook a little bit more.
A little bit more detail because right. they're going to read. They're not. It makes sense because when you're looking at Facebook, you see more. Cause that's how it started.
Right.
It started with a notice of words that's more than 150 characters.
Right.
Outside of Twitter. So right. to me, Twitter, you got to get
Twitter's all words.
All right. words straight to the point.
Right. Straight
with
to
Twitter,
the point. Yeah.
You know, and Instagram is about the photos.
Right.
And Facebook is more so about the interaction.
Right. The relationship. Right.
The interaction. The relationship.
Yeah. So I don't focus a lot on Facebook, but I definitely should, and I definitely would if I felt like I wanted to reach that other demographic. Mm-hmm. I'm not on TikTok right now because I don't feel like we have enough of the content that would be necessary to keep TikTok interested.
Right.
You know what I mean? I am not a good dancer. I know you can't tell by looking at me. But I can't dance.
I really feel all black people should be great dancers and have great rhythm.
I understand. Okay,
but unfortunately, that's not the case. So I get shocked. I get super shocked.
Right,
and mad.
Right. I'm not a good dancer, and it's not a rhythm thing. I just look awkward as hell. Like mm-hmm. I look like I'm falling. It just look bad. But in my mind, I'm doing the dance that mm-hmm. I think I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But when I see, to other people, it looks like a situation. They need to catch me. It looks really bad in that kind of way. So that part. And I mean, like, what are we gonna be like doing TikTok videos of the cooks? They're not gonna do that,
right.
You know. So it just didn't feel like it was our. But people do post this on TikTok, and that goes well. That was one of the biggest boosts to business we ever had was via TikTok, and it was a double cheeseburger, a doublet burger, which is a double cheeseburger, mm-hmm. and a crab fry, and a banana split. Milkshake.
Was that a customer that did that? Or
yes, it was an influencer who I did not know and I did not reach out to. Her name was Winnie's World. If you don't know her, follow her. She's great. She came by. She tried it. She posted it. I did not know who she was. And we went from, like, new to, like, popping real fast. Like, that helped. But I had also reached out to some local food influencers already. Things to Do in Charlotte, I think, was the first person. I think they came like our fifth day of mm-hmm. being open. So I'd reached out to them already. I already had like a little strategy.
Yeah, a little time.
You know, but again, planning, you know what I mean? So I had already started with that, and that helped a lot. And but yeah, the Wendy's World, because we weren't even on TikTok, and I still have people coming to me, and that's been not quite a year ago, but getting there. And they still say, oh yeah, I saw this on TikTok.
Wendy's World, I never heard of that one. And I try to, I'm not going to lie, there's a few that I rock with mm-hmm. that I know personally mm-hmm. that do some good stuff that I like. Daily Special Charlotte.
Yeah.
Corey, that's my guy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Real cool.
And Jordan, who does, it's escaping me, but we'll talk about it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's quite a few right. that does their part.
Eat with Nia, Asha yeah. Eats World, D Chic Foodie.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love food, but I'm not that I'm dedicated to the point where I'm always going to try something new.
Right.
But an everyday thing, I rely on them.
I rely on them to
steer me where I need to go.
Well, I'm so grateful to them because that's been all.
It makes a big difference. It makes
Other
a
than
big difference.
Word of mouth, which is always the number one, the best marketing you mm-hmm. have is the word of mouth with somebody saying, "Hey, you got to come try this place."
And that's what I do. I say, "Look, man, I went to this place right here." Right. I say, "It's clearly been around, been around
forever."
Yeah, and they'll say, "Hey, I finally came back over here." But some people, like you telling me, it was under new man. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. They didn't know. So when mm-hmm. they rolled up to the window, they said, "Yo, I didn't know they was black." I said, "I'm not going." That's the first place I'm gonna tell you. Hey, you'll go somewhere that's, I want us to normalize. I want us to normalize, infiltrating black businesses without saying black business. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have to get the word out there, but I want to get to a point where it's not that no more.
Do you want there to be like another word? Like, do you want it to be like soul business? Or is it kind of like, you know what I mean? Or is it not the word?
It's not
acknowledging of the black is making it exceptional when it shouldn't be exceptional in that way.
Yeah, if you dope, you dope. Yeah, if it's great, if it's great food, it's great food. Because yes, I am black. I am going to patronize these businesses. I am going to do that. But as a business, you're not just catering to black people.
Definitely
you
not.
You will never succeed if you do that. So when you're going into the business, you're not thinking like that. You're thinking of the best ways to make your business successful. I want it to be the same way from us as consumers.
You are so right. And my mom keeps me grounded in that a lot because I have a tendency to like to, I like to do very black password, quote, air fingers, air bunnies.
You're strategic.
Black password names for things. So like our rice and veggie entrees, we call them hibachi. It's not hibachi, it's hibachi. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But on the menu is rice and veggies. Why is it rice and veggies? Because my mom is like, you don't want to alienate people. And she's absolutely right. But at the same time, you don't want to like cater to.
It's a slippery slope.
Right, it's slippery, right?
It's a slippery slope because you want to be true to who you are. And you want that demographic. Right. Because that's us. I mean, you want that.
And it's a coat. It's kind of like the Keke Palmer, right?
Yeah.
An Arnold Palmer is sweet tea and pineapple lemonade. It's sweet tea and lemonade, right? We don't have lemonade. We have pineapple lemonade. So our pineapple lemonade and sweet tea is a Keke Palmer, right? It's like an Arnold Palmer, but it's black. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little code.
Yeah. You know? We know the code.
Right. But I don't feel like it makes anybody feel like, oh, well, I can't eat there. They've got black tea. You know what I mean? It's not, well, I mean, it might be black tea. I don't know what kind of tea it is.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And I just want, you know, I want that to get to a point where it doesn't have to be stressed that much. I want Dorada Dairy to fit right next to Bubba's or, you know, or Benny's Pizza.
Right.
You deserve that accolade just as much as them. And I want it to be the point where if you're good, you're good. You know, you got some business out that ain't that great, but if you're good, you're good. And I just want it to be the point where it's not, you know, oh, where'd you go eat it? Oh, I wanted to ride a dairy bar. Is it black owned? Yeah, it's black owned. But I want to get past that. Right. But right now, I'm not mad about it.
Right.
But I wanted to get to a point where you don't have to do that no more.
I get it. But like you said, even that is a slippery slope. Because then when you get to that point, then you, well, I mean, I guess, because there, like you said, there's positive stereotype and there's negative stereotype around. And a lot of stereotypes have a little kernel of truth. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think of us, you know, like a stereotype, like we don't open on time. Or we're not, I don't know what another one would be. Those kind of things, they're very much in my mind.
No, I get what you're saying, like with not opening on time, bad service.
Right, bad attitude.
Bad attitude, right. you don't listen to the customers.
Right,
or what
don't
they,
have this, don't have that, they ain't got no stock.
Or the milkshake broken. Or the milk machine.
Right, the ice cream machine broke.
But that's not even a black thing, that's a McDonald's thing, you know. So I get it. I get it. I just want to. Yeah.
No, I totally. But I mean, it. That's a hard thing to balance. Like, how do you? Because now we are going to kind of move. Kind of going back to that thing about how we're moving to the outskirts of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have these kind of small community areas, you know, that are going to cater specifically. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to see more Mexican restaurants in areas that.
A Mexican dominant.
Right.
And like certain areas of the South Side and stuff like that.
Right, and it's going to be a different type of Mexican restaurant, too.
Right.
Like, we can have a Mexican restaurant, but it ain't going to be like the one that's, you know, in that neighborhood that's more authentic in what they want to eat.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of what we're doing, too, is we're giving you well-seasoned, soul food-esque, casual American food.
Hey man, I feel you. So one last question for you. So, legacy.
Mm.
When you think about Dorada Dairy, and you think about the importance of what you have done, and what you're leaning towards doing, and then you did explain to me that you did have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for you how important is it to you for her to see how you're building this brand, and does she take a liking to it? Is it something that she thinks she wants to do? I know she, I think you told me she's 11.
Yes.
Is she thinking like that now?
So I, so the legacy is very important. It's very important that she sees the work that is involved in owning a business, the thought, the passion, the amount of time that's involved. I want her to understand the difference between working and owning. And I want her just to see what it's, it's also important for her to see what it's like to interact with people because the world is going so digital, but it is still important to reach and touch and talk and interact with people. But, you know, I bring her, she helps sometimes with, you know, drinks and prep and helping me shop and all that kind of stuff.
So she enjoys it.
She says she doesn't. Like, when I get her up in the morning, she be blown about it. But all day long, she has a good time. Okay. So I think she's just at that age now.
She'll appreciate it once you get a little bit older.
It's not cool to like anything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That doesn't, at her age right now, everything has to be, do I have to? And it's like, yeah, you gotta. Because once she's there, she's fine.
And she, and I would think probably during the summertime, she'll probably be a little bit more.
Probably. Well, you know, she's 11. So I'm not supposed to have her there. So, no. But, yeah, she also likes being at the window and people calling her little Devin. She likes being, she likes everybody. She looks just like me.
So okay.
She likes for everybody to point that out and say how tall she is. So, you know, when you're 11, that's important. You know?
Yeah. I look like my dad as an older person now.
Right.
I have no problem with it.
Right.
But growing up, I was like, "Man, look at that man!"
But,
I couldn't help it. I'm a military kid.
Okay.
So
they gonna associate it.
They gonna associate.
Were you
with
tall?
Them. Pretty, yeah. I'm probably the tallest.
Okay.
I don't know where the height came from.
Between you and your dad?
Just the family period.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's like I'm about 6'2". I'm about 6'1", okay. 6'2". But
when you were 11, were you tall? Did it happen like all at once in high school?
It probably. It was a gradual.
Okay.
It was a gradual growth, you know what I'm saying? But
okay.
I probably was at 11. I was probably his height.
Okay. So, we'll see, with Marley being, Marley's 11, she's almost my height. So, she's about 5'5", 5'4". And it's very important, you know, for everybody to acknowledge that she's really tall.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, she's right. Older. You know, it's very important. It really makes her great.
It could be. Like I said, I guess with me just hearing it, like, look like that man.
Right. You look like your dad?
I look like him. I can't really hide it.
I look like my dad, too.
I can't hide it. And once I got to a point, bro, you can't run from this.
Yeah, I absolutely look like my father as well. And you cannot run from it. And people will see me and say, "Are you related to?" You know what I mean? And ask like that, right?
That's just, yeah. When you're from a certain area,
right,
and you frequent that area, the first question they look at you and say, "You Chief Sanders,
right?
Ain't you?" I say, "Yeah, that's my dad."
Oh, that's dope. And he had like rank and stuff. So
yeah. So that was another side.
Yeah,
my dad was he was a Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force.
Yeah.
So when they see me, it was always Little Chief.
What?
Anytime when we went to go play basketball, and they said, "I'll put your name down," I always automatically go in there and look, and it says Little Chief.
Little
and I'm
Chief.
Like,
that's dope, though.
Yeah, man, but I wanted my own, I wanted to be me.
Okay, fair. I think Marley's.
But I was young, though. You got to keep in mind, I was young.
You were young.
Yeah, I was young.
You're going to fight everything that's like easy to you. You're going to fight that because that's the easiest thing to fight or whatever. I think the closest comparison Marley had is when we were in Maryland, I had a very big Girl Scout troop. I had a 45-girl Girl Scout troop, three levels, 15 girls. We did the coolest stuff. We rented out a museum and slept overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when you talk about the entrepreneurial stuff, that kind of is involved in that too, you know, because like our cookie sales were crazy. But anyway.
Yeah, that's our thing, cookies.
We got to do. But then with the money you make, you do stuff, you know. So we rented out museums. We camped on the beach in New Jersey and rode rides all day. And anyway, Marley being the daughter of the Girl Scout troop leader, all the girls wanted to be. Like, she's the most popular. What do you mean?
She had a little clout.
Right?
Just a little clout. Just a tad bit of clout.
Right, right.
She had that.
Oh, y'all want popcorn next week?
I'll
talk to her.
I got you.
Which I want some juicy juice. I'll put the word in.
I got you. Right? I got you. So I get it. I get it. So she saw the advantage. Yeah. The advantage. But that's real dope. That is real dope.
Yeah.
Devin, thank you. I no definitely enjoyed this conversation. What thank I like you. To always do, I do this on every episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's a running thing. Mm-hmm. What's next? What's next for Derida Dairy and Bar?
Ooh. So I have been bitten by the restaurant bug. I'm loving it. We're going to keep growing. We're going to stay where we are. But I'd love to have more facilities. I'd love to have more restaurants around town. I'd love to have a West Boulevard Dairy Bar and Grill, a University Dairy Bar and Grill, a East Boulevard Dairy Bar and Grill. I'd love to have a bunch of them because I think they're great. And I'd love to keep that same window format. Actually, I think it would be even doper if we could open up all the windows. You remember like the old school Krispy Kremes where you could like watch the donuts being made? How dope would it be if you could watch the whole process of like your burger being made in your fries and your plate, and then it comes out at the other end and you've seen the whole aspect. You know what I mean? Like that'd be dope because we make all of our burgers custom. Like nothing comes on anything, you know? So by watching it being built and knowing that one's yours, that's your ticket on it. I think people would really like that. So I would love to kind of expand and do some different stuff around town. Plus nobody's doing that. Who's doing it? Don't take my ideas, guys. These ideas are really good ideas.
Hey, what I always tell people, it's cool to think about that idea. The question is, can you execute it? So if you can't execute it, like the Derida Dairy Bar, just let Devin do it. Y'all, just come and check it out.
Just come see me. Just come invest. I got you. It will pop. Is what I'm telling you.
Right. But thank you, Devin.
No problem.
I appreciate it. So let everybody know where they can find you at.
All right. So my name is Devin. And I can be found on our Instagram page, DDBNG, like dog, boy, and girl. How about that? DDBNG, Facebook, and Instagram. My personal Instagram is Devin McWhite, DevinMcWhite. Other than that, you can also check out my work on Commit Marketing Solutions or commitmarketing.com, my personal marketing company, Commit Marketing Solutions. And you can see me at the window at 2737 West Sugar Creek, Derida Dairy Bar. Come see me. Come say hey. I'll help you eat good.
She will be at that window as soon as you walk up. You hear that? You're right. That door opening. Hey. So she got you.
What you in the mood for?
Exactly. She got you. But for a millionth time, thank you again.
No problem.
I did appreciate this conversation. I hope it was a great conversation.
Totally worth putting on real clothes and not wearing my pajamas and sweatpants. These pants have a zipper and a button. So
I'm glad we was able to bring that out of you. So I appreciate that.
And this is a new shirt. I just bought this one.
Okay. And that's the
Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers. Right. This one, I popped the tag just for you, friend.
You know what? I appreciate that. Again, thank you all, people. This is E-Dub with Who Got Next. You can catch me on my Instagram. You know, just see who I've been talking to. And that Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as I always say all the time, please remember this. Remember this. If you out there doing some dope stuff, trust me, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, we are going to talk about what you got going on next. All right? Cool. Peace.
Peace.